What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
What?
Hello?
What's going on?
Hello?
Are you a dead person?
No, I had to figure out how to push record, but I did it.
But you did.
I did it. I pushed it.
Thank God, you figured out how to hit record.
Thank you. After all these years.
But every week, it's just like the first week.
That's what's beautiful.
Renewed.
About my mind.
Renewed.
Yeah.
Send re-nudes.
I send re-nudes. I was listening to Poog the other day, and Kate Berlant was talking about, for the first time, she started talking about how her father has Alzheimer's.
Oh, that is hard.
Yeah. And I got kind of like weepy listening to her discuss it. It's very challenging, but she was like, I guess she brought it up because she'd been talking to him and the day before he had asked her like, what is Poog?
Mm-hmm.
Cause he forgot, you know, and that's just sort of what it's like.
I mean, we all forget, but
but he really, he forgets things all the time. Yeah. And then it's like, but the thing is that Kate said, he forgets he has Alzheimer's, which that seems like the best case scenario, you know?
Well, that feels like part of the thing where it's harder for the people around the person.
Right, of course.
The context is sort of lost.
Yeah.
We can stay on that topic, but we're also going to talk about The Path of Totality and Beth Gillett-Skirball and other stuff.
Oh, my God.
But while we're talking about...
The Path of Totality. What a beautiful...
Aging and...
Beautiful thing.
Losing one's mind and all of that kind of reality. I have the honor and privilege and astonishing experience of going to Norton Batkin's memorial at Bard this weekend, and it was a really unbelievable experience for me. I never met Norton. He died earlier this year.
Would you tell me who is Norton, please?
Yeah, so Norton Batkin is the father of our neighbor. Is one way in which I know this person, I guess.
Which neighbor?
Alex Batkin.
Yes.
Of Alex and Andrew.
Yes, okay.
Who we adore. Norton founded CCS, the Center for Curatorial Studies at Bard, was the vice president of Bard at
Goodness
some point,
gracious.
And also started the graduate arts program in some way. I don't really know what exactly that means, but like a real founder of things, I guess, or, you know.
Right.
And the other, for me, emotional tie-in to this person who I never met, is that they were a student of Stanley Cavell, who's an American philosopher,
right,
who taught at Harvard.
Right.
And Norton married Stanley Cavell's daughter as well.
Okay.
Who teaches at Bard.
Is that person not the mother of
that
Alex?
That person is also the mother of Alex.
Oh,
Beck.
My God. Alex comes from quite the pedigree. Okay.
Yes. Cool. So that was kind of the essence of my wild experience, was like this... the kind of family culture thing of it all, which is just so like I spiritually feel like Stanley Cavell is my father. So it was this really strange experience for me and really interesting in terms of memorial and archive as I do this library project, and the feeling of the culture of like a memorial like this at an institution like Bard. It really changed my perception of what Bard is as an institution. Cause like the Fisher Center is, you know, one thing. But like the community that was expressed so beautifully was really like, I thought I was going to humiliate myself at this thing because I was like devastated by everything anyone said.
Oh, wow.
You know.
You were crying.
I was crying, and I was really trying to not make a scene.
Right.
Which I think I accomplished, but it was, like,
literally unrelated to this person.
Never met this person.
Wow.
Because they had dementia, some form of, you know, cognitive decline.
Wow.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but...
Okay.
So by the time I met Alex, you know, we moved, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever, and met them later on, maybe almost like 6 months after we moved here, actually. But yeah, around this time last year, because it was the Germantown yard sale, no less.
Oh.
Which is where I met.
Well, maybe Alex can adopt you as his brother, and then you can be a family member. You can be the son of this guy, Norton.
Yeah.
That you never met. You can say, yeah. I never met my dad.
You're right, right.
And people
right.
will be like, what? Be like, he died when I was, you know, almost 40, but I never met my dad.
That's right. Yeah, it was, you know, and Stanley Cavell was mentioned, and Emerson, and these things. So it was really, and just like a relationship to parents that I don't have, which yeah. everyone's relationship to their parents is very complicated, no matter what this, you know, the kind of thing of it. You know, just ask Freud, but yeah, it was really incredible, and I'm so grateful for that experience.
Wow, so. Beautiful. I'm glad that happened for you.
Yeah.
Some kind of parental catharsis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's, it's a strange thing, because it simultaneously is this kind of made community or found community at Bard and this institution and of these, like, different people coming from across the world to study at Bard and, you know, that kind of dynamic. And this, like, family, blood, you know, related, bound kind of thing simultaneously.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. So, just...
Beautiful.
You know, and there's, like, there are feelings of kind of jealousy of, like...
Yeah.
My family's so yeah. far from this. But also, you know, like the act of a funeral and memory and remembering and the impact that it can have on how you live your life.
Yeah.
And the kind of like archiving, like making your life out of almost like projecting yourself forward into the future of like, what do I want my life to have been?
Right.
Which brings us directly into the path of totality, because I accidentally went to the path of totality and it was everything.
Wow. Okay, wait. I just want to say, go back one sentence to say that I frequently find myself when I observe, when I am jealous of like a familial or relationship situation, I find it is like, that is when it is the most emotionally affecting to me. Like a movie where I'm like jealous of the way that the people are in their family unit or like, you know, romantic unit or whatever, that's when I'm the most upset. Okay, anyways.
I just saw Chris O'Donnell on a Rosie O'Donnell episode from, like, 1999.
Wow.
They mention Men Don't Leave. He looks really incredible. He's just had a baby. His wife gave birth to it, and he did not. But he looks incredible and is so perfect.
I
just
love
like
him.
The sweetest... And
I
men
have,
don't leave. Wow.
Chris O'Donnell has no idea what a deep relationship I'm in with him.
Well, you know, he might know. He might have had that himself
yeah.
with someone.
Okay.
That's how it goes.
Anyways, go on. The path. So where were you?
Wow.
Where did
okay,
you find
so
yourself?
Just really,
you were in a river.
I did not care that this was happening. I was absolutely not watching it, looking at, reading about it, caring about it, thinking about it,
yes.
what have you. My friend was like, should I come up and we'll go to the path of totality? And I was like, no, Jack has to work. I won't have the car. And then my friend Irene was like, because she was like, I got the glasses, let's go. And I was like, I don't care. And she's like, I'm getting my boyfriend's car. I'm coming up. Like, I'm going to come through Germantown. I haven't seen your house. If you want to come with me, great. If not, that's
where,
fine.
Where it was, okay, go on. Where's the path?
So I was like, okay, I guess, yeah, sure. Like, what am I going to do? The same thing I do every day? So
yeah.
Let's go on an adventure. I'm still not tippy-tippy type. Still not in the least interested or caring about this scenario.
Right, but like, it's just happening.
Sure,
I'm gonna
see my friend. We're gonna hang out. We're gonna drive around. We're gonna eat a sandwich.
The path of totality is just happening at you. Yeah, and you're like, I can do this.
It's fine. It's just an excuse to go on an adventure. Great. I like a road trip. Okay. So, she arrives, and already I'm like, people are talking about like food scarcity and like
what
traffic, and I'm like, what? I don't understand this. I started to realize, like, I really don't know what's going on here.
Food scarcity.
So we go to Otto's, get a breakfast, get on our way. And traffic starts being strangely crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh. So we end up taking, like, a side road, which is great and, like, more of an experience. And traffic is so boring. And then we start seeing people. Like, cars pulled over at the side of the road on, like, these kind of more back roadsy places, people in lawn chairs. And I'm like, what is... Like, this is in the middle of... I'm literally afraid to be where we are because we're a little low on gas.
Uh-oh.
And it's, like, you know, and there's, like, barely any reception. We're, like, nowhere with, like, shanty houses and, like, Trump signs. And I'm feeling anxious, Boots, thinking... And I have to pee. And I'm like, what's going on?
Okay.
So, we're headed toward Scroon Lake. It's not pronounced Shroon, which I think it should be, but Scroon.
Scroon?
S-C-H-R-O-O-N, I believe. And I don't really know why this is where we're going, but, okay. You know, Google said it or whatever. I don't know. My friend did all the work here. And so we get into town, and... We go to get gas. We go to a Stewart's. We get some gas. I try to get into the building to pee. And there's a line to get into a gas station. This is apocalypse. This is the end of times. This is like chaos cometh. So okay. I don't go in there. And we don't really know where we're going to go. Because I'm like, you know what I don't want to do? Be around people like this.
Uh-huh.
So this is where I start being like, this was a mistake. Yikes. Longer story short, we end up talking to some guy, talking to some other guy, and there's this guy who's maybe running this hotel cabin-y. It's all like very cabins. We're in the Adirondacks now.
Okay.
And it's all very like cabin resort-y. Hotel.
How many hours were you in the car?
Like 2 from here.
Okay.
So my friend drove like, you know, 4.5 hours or whatever from the city.
What state are we in?
New York State. And he's like, we were just kind of like, can we go down by the lake? And yeah. I didn't really understand, like, I wasn't trying to get anywhere or do anything, but my friend was like, I want to be by the lake when this happens, which I didn't really understand. But I was like, yeah, I mean, it's nice to be by a lake anytime.
Well, so, mosquitoes, I don't love that, but okay.
Well, it's very early spring. There were no mosquitoes. There were nary a bug anywhere, actually.
A gorgeous.
So we were like, thank you so much. We like walked down this path. There's some like cabin-y things. But if the vibe is like things are being remodeled, like this is like a half operating kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
So we go down to the lake. There's like a an abandoned house by the lake, and there's no one there. And we just like sit on some rocks, and that's our spot. So we got really lucky, and we've been on our little glasses, and the moon was starting to peek over the sun.
Wow.
And we settled in, and it was like, you know, we had snacks and whatever, and I had no idea what was about to happen to us.
That you would be plunged into darkness.
Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
Total eclipse is everything. Partial eclipse is
Boring.
Nothing. You know, it. Because the problem is looking through the glasses. Did you look through glasses at this thing?
Yes, very briefly. I was at work at, we have a studio space at Eric Winterling right now, which is like a costume manufacturer production place. And one of the cutters, Elizabeth.
In like Midtown?
Yeah, in 38th Street. One of the cutters, Elizabeth, we had a fitting kind of like right during the clips. And so Elizabeth was like, hey, come to my table and look out the window. And I mm-hmm. looked and I thought, okay, great. And I, right before I'd gone in the building, everyone from the Garm District was standing on the corners of like 38th and 8th and 37th and 8th, because you could get a glimpse of the sun like in those like open,
right,
you know, in the crosswalks. People all had their glasses on and stuff. And then I remembered, oh, we did this in 2017 and it did get darker outside. And it did get darker outside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not, I didn't get to experience what you experienced.
You really didn't.
No.
You really didn't. And I'm so sorry.
So did you feel, was it like melancholia? Because here's
the
thing,
when you wear the glasses, my experience with wearing the glasses was like, I could just be looking at an image. Like, it's cool that this is happening, but the way that it kind of blocks out everything else.
Everything, yeah.
Makes it just kind of like,
you're just looking through nothing.
Okay, cool that's happening. But it's kind of just information.
Right. The part that I want to feel, I want to feel the world get dark.
You have to, because so when the total eclipse happens, you can take your glasses off.
Yeah, of course.
Because the sun is eclipsed. You're no longer looking at it.
But there's a glow. There's a glow.
It was like, I describe it as like a diamond ring.
Yeah.
Like literally like a ring, but like shimmering like a diamond. But what I learned afterwards is that there's some, you know, like the kind of flares that come from the sun or happen on the sun, like go in a cycle. Uh-huh. And we were at maximum flaredom at this moment.
Oh.
So it was like very like sparkly, wonderful. Like it was very kind of active in its dynamism.
Looked up. And then there was a black.
And you see like a ring of light.
You
that's
see a
like
white
shimmery,
ring.
Magic,
a white ring.
A white ring of diamonds.
And is that white ring causing, there's a glow on the earth, or just very still,
you know,
very
it's
dark?
It's like a kind of strange sunset.
Twilight.
Aspect. Because essentially what's happening is that the sun is still illuminating like miles from here.
Right. Okay, wait. I wanna ask a question. 5 minutes before, it's feeling dark, right?
Yeah, so the shadows start, like, getting soft and strange. And
right, it feels like evening. And then, suddenly, quickly, I'd imagine, it's dark.
No, it all is, you know, because it's really just, everything's just, yeah, I mean, I guess the transition from, like, it feels like day to it feels like the world is inverted in some way.
Yeah.
Is pretty quick. I mean, I felt like the whole thing lasted, like, 10 seconds, but apparently it was, like, minutes. But it's like, you're just like, this, I want this forever.
Wow.
This is what I want now. Yeah. And that's still how I feel right now. I'm like,
you
want to
be
want
in the dark.
That.
You
I want
see,
to go back.
You
want to
see
that.
The shimmering ring.
Absolutely. The like, there's just like a metaphysical transformation of the world.
Wow, you're changed.
It was incredible.
Congratulations.
It's hard to, I mean, it's just like, you know, one of those awe-inspiring things. You know, I'm reminded of like my favorite place, Wadi Rum in Jordan. Huh. Like, just like unbelievable. Wow. You know, I haven't been to Grand Canyon, but I think, you know, something like that, or like Niagara Falls that we went to.
We did.
But this was, you know,
space.
More.
I mean, quite frankly,
just
the
like,
final frontier.
It was like the universe. Space.
It really was. It was out there.
And I feel really, there was like very like thin cloud. It had no, didn't like interrupt.
Yeah.
Anything.
Do you feel cleansed?
I just feel so lucky because I also feel like it was really good to go without any idea what was about to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was nice that we were like on this lake. So we got this like reflective, you know, that we had a nice view that was transformed as well. Mm. And weren't like surrounded by people. Like we could hear people howling elsewhere, but we weren't like in this human experience in that way. But
I took yoga from my friend Chrissy Jones this morning at 8, and she was telling us how she was sobbing all day during the eclipse, and then once it was over she felt released.
Wow.
Yeah.
I felt like that Monday was like a big day, mainly for like weather, spring. I was like, I think spring begins on Monday. Because, like, ooh, we had a big... It was, like, in the 70s yesterday, I guess. But, like, Monday was kind of the first day out of this kind of coldness that we have had.
Uh-huh.
So I felt like it was the beginning of spring and, like, transitioning into a new time already. So
Spring is sprung.
But, you know, I can't wait to go. I think, you know, the next one's... Our best chances of seeing this well is in Spain in 2 years.
Okay.
It's also happening in Iceland, but I guess the cloud cover is more likely there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But that's wonderful. Just saw this Instagram video of Mount Etna in Sicily is like...
Oh, yeah. Rings.
These rings. Can you believe it? And now I feel dedicated to...
Rings.
Like, just... incredible things.
yeah, you need to find all the rings in the universe.
Yes, rings, that's right, that is the through line.
Yeah, well, there's a big ring, the part of the Ripley series is the ring, that ring.
Oh my god, we're gonna talk about Ripley. Did you watch it at all?
I did finish it.
Yeah, me too. So well, do we want to go into that?
What was the, was there another topic we needed to delve into prior to Ripley?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, there are other things we could talk about, but...
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Ripley. I'm sure it'll open up pathways towards other things.
What was your experience?
Well, what I'd like to say is that I feel compelled to not talk about Ripley for too long because I feel it would be reinforcing what that show did poorly, which is just, it took too long. And I... was really, really enjoying it for a few episodes, I have to say. I thought, wow, this is gorgeous. I think this is an interesting and more realistic kind of version of this story. We all know and love the Matt Damon, Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Cate Blanchett Hollywood film, which was like packed it all into 2 hours. It was like so intense, like so scary. Mm-hmm.
Hollywood.
Yeah. This was like, We're gonna sit here for 8 hours, and it is gonna be beautiful and compelling at times, and then other times not. And I have to say, it got worse as it went, which I thought was interesting. I was like, this story's meant to get like kind of more fast and scary, but really, what happened is in like episode 7, 8, I was like, why is this? Where's the tension? You know, I felt the tension dissipated somehow, even though like Ripley seemed to be getting, it was like, is he in trouble? But in the way that the Anthony Minghella version really makes you like, oh my God, they're coming for him. It's over. And then it's sort of not. In this version, it's like, I guess he's going to be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree and I disagree. I agree that it is a slow-going, kind of consistently paced thing, which I guess you're right in that would get harder over time. But I didn't feel like it got... I felt like it was consistent, and that's not normal. So I think our expectations of, like, that kind of speeding up development was not upheld. But
well, I also felt in like episode 7, 8, there were bad musical choices, which was a surprise because I thought like up until then, there had been such excellent musical choices that had been kept so quiet the whole time.
Mm.
Then suddenly there was like kind of not very good orchestration. And also, I just thought, where is this coming from? Yeah.
Anyways, I mean, I do think that's also, like, a thing that tends to happen in these TV shows, as we've seen with that twins show. What was that called?
Oh, yeah, Dead Ringers.
Rachel Weisz, yeah. Oh, wow. That, like, really just, like, fell apart.
It really fell. This one did not fall apart like that.
Yeah, I mean, no. I was really impressed. I mean, I'm sort of impressed with the level of restraint that this
did. It is, like, artistically, impressive.
I'm like, that it was very meticulous and, like, plotted and created and was beautiful. Like, so for me, I still think about the car left at the aqueduct place with the trees.
The trees.
Like, that is so, I mean, the, like, toplit, moonlit kind of, like,
every frame. Look, I take issue when people, like, backlight trees and stuff in films because it's just, like, so hokey, balokey. But this felt just so beautiful. Yeah. And, like, it was incredible. I mean, every frame.
The thing about this movie is that it's a noir.
It is, yes.
Like, it really is, like, we're going to do that. And I think that it really does a good job at staying in that genre.
I'm but sending you a
picture. It's not a contemporary movie.
I'm sending you a picture I took of my iPad last night because I was so overcome.
Is it the same picture that I took?
I was so overcome by the beauty of one of the shots that I just sent it to you.
I can't wait to see it. It's coming. It's coming through the tubes. What is it? Oh my God. Yeah. Is this a bank?
One of these, you know, civic buildings he's in at various points, but the shot is of, like, half a marble wall and then half this unbelievable staircase. Mm-hmm.
It's very beautiful, but it is so conservative.
Like, I found that as well.
Like, it is just, like, it is a movie from the past.
Right, like, it weirdly...
okay. I'm like, because this is okay.
There are, you know, okay, there are these various Ripley things we've been, you know, introduced to over time. We have Purple Noon, is that what mm-hmm. it's called? We have The Talented Mr. Ripley. There's another Ripley movie with John Malkovich that I've not really watched.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Wow.
Yes, John Malkovich, who appears...
I was thinking, like, this is a book that has made three very good movies.
Good. Very good.
I think this is a movie that's just, like, broken into segments.
Well, it is a fantastic story, and the other Ripley books are also very good, and I do think that this series now sets us up for more,
right?
Yeah. Which is the more in keeping with the Patricia Highsmith mm-hmm. thrillers, that Ripley goes on to make more trouble. But at any rate,
I think I'm just gonna call it a movie. This movie, like, does a good job. Like, there's that room in to take this route. That's, I haven't read the thing, but, like, feels like probably closer to the book.
Yeah.
And because something I had to let go of was, like, oh, this doesn't feel like that character. Like, the Dickie character is, for me, like, nothing like the Jude Law character.
Well,
like, there's, like, kind of no charisma. He's just kind of a flat-faced person. Like,
I thought
there's kind of not much there.
It was way more compelling in this version somehow. Obviously, the Jude Law, Gwyneth Paltrow, Philip Seymour Hoffman situation was tremendous.
Incredible.
In its, like... in its energy.
It's Hollywood. Yeah, absolutely.
But this,
you
want to
watch,
I was like,
those people, they're compelling to look at, to be with.
Yeah. I was like, this is real. I was like, these people are of this time, of this class, and this is exactly how they are. They're boring. They have really excellent plain taste. And mm-hmm. they're actually not compelling. They're not talented. And in the way that Jude Law was, like, a party boy, he was fucking everybody, he was, like, playing jazz, like, maybe not mm-hmm. even that badly.
Right.
Meanwhile, this character, the depiction of Dickie in this version is, like, completely untalented. not even right. necessarily charismatic. There is something beautiful about him.
What, kind of how we think of these trust fund people.
Exactly.
Like, no point. No point.
Right.
And what that does with the Ripley character is that you don't really think that he might not really even be that obsessed with this person. Like, it feels more professional in this of like,
yes.
I'm going to take this person's life because yes. like they're not doing anything with it.
Right. Like, they are worthless. Whereas the Matt Damon version was like, I'm deeply in love with this person. And I was like, yeah, we all are, doll. Everybody is.
Yeah, the way that the queer narrative, I don't know about this this other character. What is his name? Her
John
name?
John Malkovich? Marge? No. Dakota Fanning?
The person he kills in the apartment.
Oh, Freddie Miles?
The Philip Seymour. Yeah, the Freddie character here who's... Is this... I felt like it was played by a woman.
I think it was played by a trans person.
Okay, so...
Or, like, a, non-binary person.
Whatever's happening with, like, the gender thing there, I thought was, like, really worked well.
It did. You know, like, what I thought was so successful about it is it felt theater in a way that's both very, like, modern and very ancient, which is that it was, like, it doesn't really matter what this person's gender is. They're playing a man.
Yeah.
And that was that. It was just like, you deal with, you know, it.
But also, like, the way that Ripley's sexuality is left open. Like, this, like, kind of free-floating queer question.
Right.
Because then Dickie is also thought to be queer in the end because of, like, you know,
because
so, like,
of the Freddie
these
Miles
kind
stuff.
Of hallucinations of queerness sort of thing. Like,
right.
I can imagine people being mad that this movie isn't as gay.
Yeah.
But I think I'm into, I mean, A of all, at least like the actor is gay actually. I mean, so yeah. I'm like winning something.
I have a lot of respect for this television series for its restraint, for the way that it does not lean into these more salacious kind of like exciting things that the Matt Damon version does do, which are to be like more, it's more explicitly gay, it's more explicitly sexual, it's like more explicitly hot.
Mm-hmm.
This is really not that. And right. I also thought like one difference that was really interesting and probably more faithful to the book, though I am guessing, because I think I did read the book and don't remember. But the way that Marge I guess what's uncanny is that, like, it is so similar in the way that these scenes are played out in between the two movies.
Hmm.
But the scene where Marge finds the ring when she's looking for a needle and thread,
mm-hmm.
the way that plays out in the Gwyneth Paltrow version is that she's just basically like, I know you did
yes.
it. Like,
right.
I know yes. you killed him. And that's her stance to the end of time.
That's right.
And in this version, that is the plot point that basically confirms for her that he killed himself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved that moment because it was really, there's a lot of like, I almost feel like the movie ends up being about just like how stupid or like not necessarily like the humanness of like a detective scenario. Like, what people assume, the whole disguise that he puts on. Because
incredible.
That scene's fascinating because you're like, yeah, because no one's assuming people are pretending to be someone else.
Right.
Like, that just isn't...
Yeah. Yeah.
In the way that that's then revealed in the end. Because you are kind of like, when is a photo going to be seen?
Right.
Like the way that he... there's like this... Because the newspapers are constantly in this movie... But
right.
the way that the photos are avoided is an interesting
right. Like the
thing.
Inspector initially almost sees a photo of Dickie at Marge's house or someone's house when he first visits Atrani.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only at the very end that he sees the photo of Dickie and is like, whoa. I mean, all of the Italian character actors who play the hotel clerks and the inspectors are tremendous in this series.
Yeah, there's one brilliant friend actor in the mobster scene.
The mobster scene.
The scene where he's, like, coming to sell the boat to the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the biggest pleasure of this movie show is traveling through Italy.
Wonderful.
Production design, tremendous. I mean, this is, it's one of the huge gifts of every version of this. It's like,
yeah.
But I feel like we travel the most in this. Like, we really go. We go to Sicily. We go to Palermo. We go to Venice. Right.
Well, I also think we get a much more, we get a deeper understanding of these places because we just spend more time in them. Yeah. We just spend more time everywhere.
Right.
And yeah. I have to say, I didn't love the whole, like, Caravaggio symmetry thing. It didn't interest me so much. But
I didn't need as much of it, but I actually really liked, I really liked this kind of, like, for me, it took the place of the jazzness.
Well, yeah, I appreciated that, but I didn't need them to go to, like, 1600s Italy for a moment.
That's absolutely what I would also have cut from that. Right. I was like,
with the ugly fonts and everything, I was like, oh, suddenly, aesthetically, we've left perfection, and, like, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I did? You know the, like, the tricky gimmick that I kind of did love?
I did love it, too. I thought this works.
The newspapers.
It's very Harry Potter, but it actually doesn't, you know, it just kind of
it
is
was
like,
beautiful.
I thought it was really beautifully wild done. How it worked.
Me too, because initially I was like, what? And then I was like, this is great. I was like, this is, like, actually helpful. It looks amazing.
Someone's here.
Oh, dear.
Hold on.
I don't want you to die. It's feeling very Ripley right now.
Okay. Well, they're going to see how this goes. There's someone with a bucket. Maybe they're here to do the well. The
bucket.
Oh, hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Clover Pump here.
All right, yeah. Well, you, if you don't mind going around the back, I'll like you can hear me, but the people can't hear me.
Oh, I'll narrate. Okay, Jeremy is someone there with a bucket, I guess, who's going to do something for the house, like with the well, and Jeremy's taking them around back and is going to let them do something involving a well, something I can't imagine at this point in my life, but this person sounds very friendly. Yeah. We're gonna take a. Do you want me to monologue?
I don't know if you should monologue. I do need to talk to this person though.
All right, we're taking a pause. Okay. I'm pushing pause.
All right.
Bye. Oh my God!
Well, I can get into that. The well drama continues.
The well.
If it isn't well. Causing trouble.
So are we all done with Ripley? I missed the Cate Blanchett character. Conspicuously not there at all.
Yeah, I kind of thought the woman in the bank was going to be something.
Right, but no, she just was giving side eye.
She just gives looks.
She's giving looks.
I mean, she might have, and that, you know, it might have been a plot point. Because there's that fraud detection thing.
She was like, you're not that guy. She's like, I saw that you're the other guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, overall, excellent show. I thought the last episode was disappointing, but it was nice to be in Venice. And obviously, all of
I liked being in Venice, and I liked them having this relationship, which is, like, so bizarre. I'm really glad that ring moment played out as it did within that dynamic.
Right. It was nice to see him in a state of, like, kind of more familiar agitation with Marge, of just being like, ugh, leave me alone, stop calling me Tommy.
Absolutely.
Like, and it was nice to see Marge being like, ugh, I just want need to have, like, a little bit of fun with this guy right now and, like, bother him and try.
Well, she was also making her moves to, like, find a different scenario. Because she's also, I think, from Minnesota. No? Is that what happened?
Is that where Marge Sherwood is from?
I think she said, like, I think I'm going to go back to Minnesota.
Right.
Like, I think she is herself a kind of Ripley.
Right. She was also, like, it was possibly a bit true what the dad was saying, that Marge was, like, trying to be a social climber in a little bit, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, her whole shit got disrupted when this Tom Ripley person showed up and literally wreaked havoc. But I mean, so, I have to say, like, the two primary murder scenes and the way they really took their time were tremendous. Wow. The remember
perfection.
When
perfection that that propeller.
Oh my! When he was underwater and that like anchor hit him in the head, I was like, "This is so
incredible,
beautiful! Like, how did they
very
do this?
Knife in the water,
amazing water filming, incredible scene in the boat. I thought like." The murder in the Matt Damon version of Jude Law is really, really horrifying and quick and scary. But this was, like, drawn out and amazing. Yeah. Oh, you know what I also loved? I have to say, like, all the little tricks they did in this, like, could have gone really badly. But, like, the one moment where you see color, I was, like, wonderful.
Did I miss that? I think I missed that.
Oh.
You see color? I thought the color thing was strange because there's a lot of discussion of color. Where was the color moment?
Well they talk, well, I loved actually the restraint about like not being able to see the shade of purple of the robe and not being able, you know, like I was like, that's incredible. But it was when he came, it was during that episode of the Freddie Miles murder, and it was just like, remember he had to like go back and then he had to come home and then he had to clean up all the blood. And then the one thing that he does, that he neglects to do, that they like folk, that they do a close shot up at the end of the episode, like this could be the end of Tom Ripley, is that the kitty had tracked some blood up the stairs.
Oh, wow. And you see that in color?
They showed that frame in color the first time you see it. And then the next time they show it and the maid sees it, or the like landlady super sees it, it's no longer in color. But the first time you see it, they're red.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I miss that.
Little red kitty.
Either I miss that or you're hallucinating.
Either way.
And I'm into either.
Either way, it's really good filmmaking.
Yeah.
Whether I made it up or it's real.
It is. It is really impressive.
Very.
And for how, like, I'm surprised I watched the whole thing. Because you're right, it did drag, but it was so stunning.
It was just such a pleasure to look at. And I have to say, the trailer didn't do it any favors because I thought this is going to be bad.
I didn't see that.
Bad trailer, excellent show.
Or maybe I did.
Did
you finish the new look or whatever? New look?
Oh my god, no. I like got 1.5 episodes in and I was like, this is not what I want.
I did the whole thing and... Wow. I mean, it's really too bad because I think it's a story that's really worth telling.
Yeah.
But in the way that it ends, it's like kind of an ad for Dior. It's so bizarre. And I'm like, this feels like it's supposed to be an ad for this company, but like that character is so uninspiring.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are just like a sad sack person. I don't like this makes me feel sick.
Yeah,
so you know. And Chanel is, you know, a Nazi, so I don't know, it's a strange, it's a very strange show.
Yeah, I didn't love it.
We do see a lot of dresses in the last episode because Dior makes their first collection, so
it's sort of like, who cares?
Yeah, it's absolutely like, who cares? But it is nice to get some fashion in a show that's about fashion designers.
I know. It's crazy. Very confusing.
So, goodbye to that.
Goodbye.
No one will ever remember that show.
No.
So, last week we ran out of water.
Oh my god. And this is when you were riding high. You thought we have endless water.
I thought that, like, we have enough water.
Forever.
I don't know if I was riding high, but I was like, I think we have enough water.
Right.
But I was still watching it and like, careful. Because, yeah. Who knows what's happening. So, we have no water, but also the pump doesn't seem to be responding in any way.
Oh, dear.
And that was new. That has never happened. And... so I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to actually call a well company. Because for the past year, we've been basically just working with our plumber about this.
Mm-hmm.
which was, turns out, a huge mistake. But I called the wall company, and it, like, goes directly to voicemail, and I call back again, goes directly to voicemail, and there's, like, no, not even a voicemail, just, like, drops, and I'm like, what the hell? So I email them, and I'm like, by the way, like, your phone doesn't seem to work. So I get a call back, and they're like, our power's out.
This is full. But this is very nice. You're living baby boom. You are living.
It never ends. So, but they're very, they call back like 5 minutes later. So it was very good. Clavrac, well, and pump.
Thank you. If you ever need someone. Clavrac.
And, you know, I was like, our well's not working. Don't know what it's about. And she's like, okay, well, your new customer, it's going to be like $200. Just to come out, whatever.
Just to say hi.
And then, like, thousands of dollars if, like, they need to do something.
Right, $1 million.
And I'm like, I was like, I'll call you back. I need to, like...
Just pray. Just, you're like, maybe if I just...
need to say some prayers.
Maybe I just hope I'll get some water.
But my thought was, maybe I'll try calling our plumber and see, like, if he has a thought of, like, what this could be. That's, like, maybe it's, like, do this thing. So I tried calling the plumber, no answer, and I was just like,
come on over, well, folks. This.
I need this to, like, this is insane.
You need
it. So they come over, they know everything. They've seen everything, they know exactly what's going on. And, like, that the reason we have these tanks, we don't even talk about it. They just, like, I can see that they know
everything. Wow. Wow.
And I'm like, this is what I
need. This is what we need in our life. We need experts.
A year ago, I knew nothing. And it turned out the people I was working with knew just a little bit more.
Right. Not
just enough
not
more
that
to
helpful.
Like lead me on a year of like nonsense.
Yeah.
Wow. So they're like, well, your pump is dead.
Wow.
And so we're going to pull it up and we're going to, you know, see what's going on. And
Okay, gorgeous.
So they literally, like, 1 year ago, it's been like a year since things happened. Anyway, I'm not even gonna say it. So they pull the pump up and it's like, you know, gonna be some thousands of dollars to replace whatever.
Yeah,
but they do, you know, they do it in like a minute. They've been here for like 15 minutes and they've like...
It's over.
...diagnosed the thing, whatever. And so then I was like, because I have some knowledge now, a year later, I was like... Because they were like, you know, it's like 60 feet that they pulled up, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, but is the well deeper? How deep is this well?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we can measure it.
Yeah.
So they measure it. We're chatting. Well, there are two guys. They're amazing. The other guy's measuring it while this other guy is...
Chatting you up.
Chatting about whatever. And the other guy's like, measured it. He's like pulling the thing up. And the other guy's like, well, oh, how deep was it? And he's like, 194.
Oh, that's
and
very
he was like,
deep.
Wait, 94?
One
or 194?
194 feet.
So basically, we got a new pump, but also got like new wire. I actually think the problem... was wiring. That's my actual.
But wait.
And they mentioned something about wiring.
Why is your well actually 20 stories deep?
So okay, hold on.
Okay.
Yes.
The well people are talking.
No, okay.
The well people are talking to Jeremy. Oh, we're gonna learn
that
something.
Pressure tank downstairs, that blue tank. That thing's waterlogged, and basically it just went bad. I can replace it today if you'd like. It's $59.
$1,000.
What do you mean?
The blue tank. You want to come downstairs real
yeah.
quick?
Wow.
Okay. I'm staying with the people.
Okay, hold on.
I'm staying with
I'm
the people.
Have to keep them.
I will narrate. So Jeremy's going into the basement with the well person or something.
So this blue tank is your pressure tank?
Oh, he's looking at a pressure thing. Rubber bladder separates water and air. It's compromised. It's allowing the air from the top of the tank down to the bottom. There's something about the bladder short cycling on and off rapidly. Short cycling. It's bad. It's cheaper today. Jeremy's about to just drop $1,000 that he wasn't expecting to drop. Okay. Okay, so he's gonna save $88 with tax stuff with when they fill out a form. So yeah, spend $1,000, replace the pump, and have water. Okay, well, I've kept you in the loop, listeners. Something about a bladder, about a pump. This is home ownership. You just have to just be ready to drop $1,000 at a moment's notice.
At any moment.
Yeah, so Jeremy's going to have a new pump, and then it's going to have water just blasting out of the pipes, hopefully. So are you back? Are you back? I narrated the whole thing.
So yeah, if you're listening, my Venmo is Jeremy Jacob.
You gotta help it's Jeremy. Just Jeremy Jacob. This is a GoFundMe moment. GoFund the well, people.
Wow. So this was gonna be $800 just to install this like thing that basically turns the pump off if there's no water down there. Yeah,
gorgeous.
So.
Well,
as he said, at least now everything's brand new.
You know what? At least you're going to get your sales tax back. That's great.
So.
Wow.
So they replaced the well and they.
The well?
Replaced the well pump.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. The well pump and they replaced the tubing because we dropped it an additional 100 feet.
Fuck.
Deeper.
That is crazy.
And as they said, for every foot, it's a gallon and a half of water.
Okay.
So.
That's good for you, I guess?
Yeah, that means there's an extra 150 gallons of water there, but also that much more space for water to refill the space.
Yeah.
Because water will flow into this thing.
Okay.
So,
wow.
So since we did that last week, I turned off this kind of backup storage pump, and I've taken baths every day, and I like
wow.
We've just been and we have had
no problems.
But fortunately, I mean, good thing is this person is here.
Yeah.
They're gonna replace this thing that apparently is broken.
They're gonna take all your money,
and they're gonna take all of our money,
and that's okay.
Because
what's it there for if not to pay for new pumps,
new things that were seem to be working?
Right.
Just have to
when they break, you gotta replace them, and that way you can have water and you can live your life and be clean.
That's right.
Wow. I had an experience yesterday with pros. It is really nice to be in a situation where you just can give over trust to people who you know are experts at something, because we need to remake these wings for Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And they originally kind of like, you know, like I worked with this kind of student craftsperson at Bard to like devise a method for these wings, and they are improvised for sure. They're not like, you know, we weren't dealing with like lots of options and lots of ideas, but you know, they worked, they functioned.
Yeah.
But
now you're getting Broadway wings.
Yeah. And so we brought the embarrassing wings to the John Christensen costume production place yesterday. And we had a whole team of people looking at them. It was very humiliating to be. The people were like, "What is this?"
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, then they showed us these like version that they do for Victoria's Secret fashion show, which
my God,
the physics of it were the same. I mean, it was a backpack with slots that the wings go into, and I was like, "Okay, well, we were on the right track. It's just ours is, you know, archaic or something. It's ugly."
Yeah. Well, they literally have been like focused on this problem with major budgets.
Major. So they are gonna, they're gonna take care of it, and it felt really good. I was like, oh my god, to have our things in good hands. It's just miraculous. It costs a lot of money, but it's miraculous.
Yeah, well, people devote their lives to things and become experts, and they should be paid accordingly.
Well, we had quite a conversation with the shop manager.
Again, my Venmo is Jeremy Jacob.
Yeah, my Venmo is Reed Bartleme. So we had a quite a conversation with the shop manager, John Christensen, who basically was like, you know, this whole thing is impossible, not only because people can't seem to understand, like, the cost of clothing, and also, like, exploit costume builders by, like, having them build the first version of a thing and then having people copy the thing in, like, you know, the basement of theaters. But also that, like, just in general and always, and it was amazing to hear it from this person who's not on the design side as much as on the production side, was just like, this whole thing is just completely skewed by misogyny. Like, these people will always, like, listen to and take into account the people on the, like, scenic and lighting teams before they will ever, ever think about costumes, because they do not care about women and queer and gay men. So that has just colored the entire costume industry in all facets forever. And it just continues to. So it fucking sucks. And, people, and also fast fashion has completely distorted people's understanding of, like, the value of clothing, because they're like, why would you pay $3,000 for a dress when you can buy a dress for $100? You're like, I could sit here and explain to you the thousands of reasons for that, or you can just use your fucking brain. Use your brain. Use your brain. Think about where your stupid dress is coming from.
There's like a discounted artistry as well that is involved. But, you know, sometimes, and I think you would be the, you know, one of the first to agree that sometimes, like, a thing from Zara is the answer for a scenario.
Yes, of course.
And, like, please don't ask me to make a shirt you could go buy for $10.
Look, Harriet and I absolutely know that, and we have employed that method in order to, like, accommodate a small budget. It's absolutely what we have to do. But then when there's a situation where a thing needs to be made, people cannot even believe. They cannot even believe.
Right.
But
that they have to pay for someone to make a thing. I mean, the Broadway thing is, like, all of these things have to be worn in aggressively.
That's, like, that's only, that's one, twice, one part of the, sometimes store-bought clothes can be worn forever. They won't break. It's a miracle. But the truth of the matter is, if you are paying a group of people to develop patterns, to understand how to work with fabrics, to cut and fabricate a single item of clothing that is singular in the world, think about it. Think about it.
Absolutely.
This isn't...
But this is... It's also, you know, this thing about experts.
Yeah.
Like, people who actually know more. You need people to know more than what you need them to know.
Right. You
know what I mean?
You are giving these well people $1,000 because nobody knows how to do anything with wells except these
also,
people.
Well, they're gonna do it right now.
Exactly.
And you know what doesn't work? What I've learned is, like, having other people do it.
Yeah.
You kind of know.
Do you know what's really hard? Making clothes. And very few people know how to do it. So that's why it costs a lot of money. There you go. That's it.
Yeah. There's a moment in the new look where Dior essentially steals all the talented people from the other people because he needs them to make his collection. It's a thing. And there's, like, this question of it. If he'll be censored, whatever, by, like, the Couture Society or whatever, and the John Malkovich character basically decides not to, because he's like, this is the future where, like, money talks, and, like, if people, like, aren't allowed to pay people more, that's a problem. But yeah, it's an interesting thing because, like, suddenly the demand for, like, experts rises. And you need that demand in order for people to, like, be able to become experts.
Right.
Which brings me back to The Crown and, like, you know, the master of the ducks or whatever.
Right. Like, remember that?
Those are people, like, holding down culture. So, anyway.
I walked into the Taylor. I got a little tour of the John Christensen. They have these two floors in a building. And I got, they were like, oh, now we're going to take you into the tailoring department and you're going to meet Valentina, who's like a very, she's like the best, and she used to work at Matera. But I was like, great. So I walk in and there's this gorgeous, like, older, perhaps Russian woman standing behind her table. She's like uncabling some kind of sweater dress that she's revising for Samuel Jackson's wife or whatever. And, and she looks at me and she goes, you looks like David. And I was like, mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, that's correct. And she was like, did someone say this to you before? I was like, they've been saying it since we were kids.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was nice.
David.
Hallberg. Yeah.
She knows him intimately.
Yeah, because she used to make, like, ballet tunics for him at Barbara Matera.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is so wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's pretty niche, I would say. But, you know, maybe, you know, not in the costume world, I guess.
Wait, costumes say that again? Stars. You broke up a little bit.
Wow.
Oh, Jeremy, you're really breaking
way
up.
Way to bring What's us down. On? I just, now I'm like...
Goodness, Jeremy's not only having well it's issues, but now he's having phone issues or internet issues or
something. There was alien.
You're back.
Climbed.
Well, it was clearly it was something to do with the eclipse. It was path of totality for sure.
Path of totality, climbing through.
I'm gonna tell you one last thing I did this week, which is that I went with friends on the weekend. My friends from Line Dance, Pat and Sam, and we saw The Room.
The Room.
Which is, like, famously the worst movie ever made, but then James Franco did that movie about the making of The Room.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we went to, like, a showing of The Room with a Q&A before it.
That's fine.
By the guy Tommy Wiseau, who was there.
Wow.
And the Q&A was unbelievable. He was absolutely hysterical, crazy.
That's fun.
All these people went up to ask questions. They'd be like, what do you like to do for fun? He'd be like, for fun, you go to the beach. At the beach, you can have fun. You have sand. There are no phones. You lay down. You go in the water. Next question. Moving on. Like that.
That's what I want.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Q&A. I think a Q&A is a great place of possibility.
And then sometimes people would ask a question. Meanwhile, he stood up, like, in the mezzanine to answer the questions and looked down at, like, the stage where people would come.
What?
It was crazy. And then people would be like, how did you, like, plan the shots? He'd be like, this is not an interesting question. Moving on. And then, like, it was so good. But then this movie, I mean, I don't know if you've seen this movie, but it is it's really not to be believed. It is, it's really insane. It's the movie, it's like a movie made by a toddler who was given a lot of money, but it's also, like, it's really confusing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's kind of what I'm trying to make.
Well, you better watch it for inspiration.
Yeah.
Some of the worst acting, some of the worst ADR, some of the worst everything you've ever seen. Truly no story at all.
I love that he's turned it into a thing, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a business. It's like merch and Q&As.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So that was the big thing that I said.
I did get an air fryer.
Wow.
And I think, you know, it's its own thing.
Yeah, so what are you
I'm
doing
in
with
the
it?
Beginning? You know, I made some tofu using Eric Kim's air fryer tofu last night, and it was heaven.
Yeah, okay.
Just in the technique, it was like, yeah, I want to, you know, I'm like, are these chicken nuggets? Like, delicious. Just like some potato starch. That's basically the recipe, everyone.
Dip tofu and potato starch, air fry.
True, like, really is basically the recipe. And there was, like, a sauce that I wouldn't make again. It was, you know, sugar.
Uh-huh, sugar.
But the technique.
It's all in the technique.
You know, French fries, like, the vibe.
All right. Is it ugly?
No, it's black.
Is it round?
It's like a rounded cube.
Okay, interesting. I always find air fryers to be such an odd sort of cylindrical situation. I'm like,
you can't have one in an apartment. This thing
I would never.
It's large. The only reason I really like crunchy.
Yeah, okay.
I really do.
Crunchy.
And I think, I just felt like,
crunchy.
I'm not eating meat. I need...
crunch.
I need like, and I'm feeling good about it since I did the tofu. I felt like kind of stupid buying it, frankly.
Okay.
And I wasn't even going to talk about it, but I did.
All right.
So.
Beautiful. I'm really excited for you and your future of air frying.
Yeah, me too. There's something in like the vegetarian thing that felt like this is going to be useful.
My mom, I think, has an air fryer that looks like a toaster oven, and you can toast bread in it.
You can bake a cake in it.
Wow.
It's essentially an oven. You know, I think, I don't know, you know the fan? What is that? Convection oven?
Convection, yeah.
Like, I think it's a kind of amped up. I don't really know. Nobody knows.
It's one of the great mysteries.
But I think it's essentially just like a toaster oven of sorts.
Yeah.
With like a lot of air movement, is my assumption. A
lot of air movement. All right. Well, I'm going to Beth Gill this weekend. And
that's so exciting. I am jealous.
You should be.
I posted about it on Instagram today because I realized it was happening and that this wouldn't come out until Friday.
Yeah.
But I think the shows are maybe Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, that's it, I think. I don't. Just two.
Three shows?
Maybe there's three, but I think it's
or
two
maybe
even.
Two. Look it up, Skirball.
I'm going to Julia Antonozzi's show on Friday at Triskelion. You should all come, one of our up and coming folks.
Greenpoint.
Indeed.
It's Paige LaPari's birthday today.
Oh,
and I adore her so. She's the best.
She's one of the greats.
One of the greats. It was hard to move out of Greenpoint.
Indeed.
So. That's enough. I mean, it's a whole hour.
More than.
I can't believe all that's happened.
Well, you spent over $1,000 in this hour, and that was really exciting.
Bye.
Bye, money.
It's like the opposite of winning the lottery.
Yeah, you literally donated your services to the podcast and you paid $1,000 to a well person.
Yeah, I almost feel like what I should have said was like, okay, replace that instead of doing this other thing that you came here to do.
Wow. All right. Well, it's all going to be great.
But I don't want my pump to burn out.
No.
You know? So.
Okay, that's enough for the folks.
OMG.
Watch Ripley, enjoy, and we loves you. And maybe one day we'll get back into Errand Into the Maze. I've been thinking about it.
Well, have you been listening to it?
No, I stopped listening, but I want to get back into it.
Good. Okay. I don't want to read it right now.
Okay.
TBD.
TBD, TBD, TBD.
All right.
All right, bye.
Love you. Bye.
Oh.